Amen. Well, today's scripture lesson comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Have it up on the screen for you. It's on the back of your bulletin as well. This is taken from a section of the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah. And prophets weren't real popular back then. They were somewhat outcast because they spoke the truth. They spoke the truth of God to the powers, speaking truth to power. And it often got them in hot water and in much trouble. So Elijah was no different. So today we hear the story about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. The word of God came to him saying to Elijah, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. For I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "And bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not empty, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, what's the first thing you think of when you hear the word spam? Well, if you're under 40 years of age, you probably thought of all those dumb emails that come in your inbox of your email program, like those from some Nigerian banker that's telling you that you've inherited some wonderful trust fund that you knew nothing about. Or those online pharmacy ads wanting to sell you something to enlarge certain parts of the human anatomy. You know what I'm talking about. But if you're a baby boomer like me, you probably thought of this wonderful pink canned meat that everybody loves, right? I had a video. Unfortunately, it doesn't work. There was an old Monty Python skit about spams. Anybody remember seeing that? Spam, 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 spam. Well, unfortunately, it didn't work this morning, so you'll have to just work with the can of spam with me. We've got some pictures of some spam up there. It's interesting, though, that the computer junk mail spam and this canned meat have a lot in common. Seems like not many people like it. No one ever asked for it. And to some people, it's pretty disgusting. But for some people, it's actually pretty tasty. Like the small percentage of junk mail that we get, there's just maybe one or two that you say, "Oh, that looks interesting," or "Oh, that might be useful to a few people." Me, I like spam about once a year with scrambled eggs, kind of mixed up with scrambled eggs. You don't hear much about spam, the meat, much anymore. It's not exactly on the healthiest of foods list. I looked at the can yesterday when I picked it up, and I looked at, you want to take a guess at the sodium content? Almost 800 milligrams. You know, you're only supposed to have about 2,000 in a day. A couple of slices of this will fix you right up. What's the fat content? 30% fat. How about that? 6 grams of fat. Okay. Don't want to have that for lunch. It's interesting, though. I wonder how many of us have spam in our cupboards. There's one. Anybody else want to admit they have spam? Okay. There's Caddy. Okay. Greg Mack. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll pray for you. Did you know the maker of Spam, Hormel, sells over 1 million cans of this stuff a year? In Hawaii, it's a delicacy. It's called musubi, and it's made with what else? Spam. Hawaiians must really love this stuff because they consume, get this, 6 million of the 11 million cans of it made every year. Musubi is just rice sandwiched by Spam wrapped in seaweed. They even have a festival out there every year called the Waikiki Spam Jam. So if you really, really want to get into the Spam culture, go to Waikiki every year and have a ball. Spam has been around since the 30s. Those who grew up in the Depression know all about Spam because it was very, very much a part of the diet during the Depression, because it's about all that they could afford. Do you know how Spam got its name? Back in the 30s, when it first came out, Jay Hormel did a contest, a naming contest. They didn't know what to call it. Because, see, it was all of the scrap pork shoulder and scrap meat and everything left over from the hog, and it was all pressed into this gelatinous block of whatever. But they didn't know what to call it. So some kids submitted the name Spam, which was short for shoulder of pork and ham. Spam. Someone said at 8 o'clock said it was also spiced ham. So it's like luncheon meat, spiced ham lunch meat. So whatever the origin was, there you go. If you served in World War II, you were probably very, very familiar with Spam. It was about the only fresh meat that our GIs got. It was in the K rations from Germany to Guadalcanal. And by the end of the war, the military had purchased, are you ready for this, 150 million pounds of Spam for the war effort. Why all this talk about Spam? Where in the world is he going with this morning? Why are we getting spammed this morning? What's all this got to do with Elijah and a widow in Zarephath? Well, we want to think of Spam as a metaphor for the food of those who may be on the edge of life and death, like the widow of Zarephath. It may not be in your pantry or on your Sunday after lunch, after church lunch menu, but in tough times, for some people, it might be just about all they have. Today's lesson from 1 Kings is about a prophet named Elijah. Now, Elijah was a wanted man. He is a prophet of God, yes, but he's in trouble with the king because he's come against the prophet of Baal and has predicted a drought, a severe drought in the land, whereas Baal was the pagan god of fertility and of the crops and of the rain and so forth. After delivering that message to the king, God knows that he's going to be in serious trouble, so he sends him out into the desert to hide out. And he tells Elijah that he'll be taken care of by ravens. And the ravens come and they feed him, and God provides a little pool of water for him, and he tells him to stay there until the water dries up. But then, when the water does dry up, God tells him to go someplace else. And that's the text for today's lesson. He tells him to go to a place up north called Zarephath. And this is the hometown of the king, King Ahab, and Jezebel, who certainly is out to get him. And Jezebel is out to capture him as well. But the famine that the land is experiencing is just as bad there as it is in Israel.